I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello there and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the 20th of November. And before you start, I know it's about a month since we've had an episode out, but we are planning to be back a bit more regular now. So we've took this international break to regroup and come back stronger. And thanks to everybody that sent us a wee message asking us to get back to podding, and we do appreciate it. But 3 years are here. The night it is myself, Darren, and I'm with Tony and Danny. So obviously, as I say, it's international break, so we'll not go too in depth to like the last few games because they've obviously been a few weeks ago. But we'll just have a sort of wee regroup and talk about Celtic in general and how we think things are going at the moment. Talk about how the domestic front's going and also have a look at the Champions League group and see what we think might come in the last two games of that campaign as well. Danny, I'll bring you in first. It's been a wee while since we've had you on. How are you feeling about Celtic at the moment and enjoying this international break? As I say, a time of regrouping before we get into this hectic festive period that always comes at this time of year.
Hello, lads. I know I think the last time I was on here, Postecoglou was still the manager, so I hope everyone's still going all right. This season's been, up to this point, I think it's probably been a 7 out of 10. Seems to be really stop-start. I've enjoyed some of the performances. I've not enjoyed a lot of them, but I've not enjoyed them. I don't mean that I've been worried at that. It's just, I think every time the team looks like they're going to click, they kind of throw in maybe a wobbly performance, or they get a draw, or whatever, but I'd say a 6 out of 10, maybe not as good as a 7, because it'd be a 7 if they'd scraped something decent in Europe. It's been, it's been maybe underwhelming, like Rodgers coming back. I was expecting a lot more when Rodgers came back. I know our group chat was buzzing when Rodgers took back over, and they just, it's not really kind of ignited yet for me. The last performance was outstanding, though. I thought that performance against Aberdeen was as good as anything we've produced at Celtic in a long time, not just this season, but the last 4 or 5, maybe. And there's a lot of cause for optimism because you just don't think Rodgers will be there unless the club are serious about like progressing. I think they've been really unlucky in the Champions League this year. I think it's kind of seems like a cheap get out saying that because we say it every year, or you know, we're learning, blah blah blah. But actually, they think they've played really well this year in all the games. The second half capitulation against Atletico, down to 10 men aside, I mean, there was no sort of just kind of buckle down and see it out at 2 or 3 or 4. Do you know what I mean? They just keep kind of losing goals. But up until, I mean, the second goal, I thought, I know my Eda's red care didn't help, but the way they popped the ball about was really encouraging. And it's been the same against, I think they've actually got back. Actually, they've had better, it's got to sound weird this, but they've had better passes as a play in every game. So against Feyenoord, I thought it was probably the worst performance of the group, but they hung on in there for a while, and then we ended up with 9 men that night. And then Lazio at home, I thought first half we were really poor, second half we were a lot better, and we were really fucking cruel to lose that. And then against Atletico, I thought first half they were outstanding, second half they were out of gas, got away with a draw in the end, and then I thought they popped the ball about really well in Madrid the other week. And I thought it was only a matter of time before we spun Kyogo away, but then the red card happened and everything changed, and in the second half it was a capitulation. But the international break came at the right time for us, because there were a few injuries and that are kicking about, and it's good. I fucking hate the international break, as you know, but I think this one's came at a good time, because you win 6-0, you can just kind of fall out a wee bit and just take stock of where we're going, because I think the next international break after us isn't until March or April, so this is when the season really does get underway. You've got games maybe every 3-4 days. You've got a busy Christmas period. You've got a January window. So it's probably a good time just to take stock and then see where we need to go in the next couple of months.
Aye, definitely. As you say, it's not been a perfect season domestically. Obviously, we had that early exit in the League Cup to Kilmarnock. And apart from that, the league's been pretty solid. We're sitting with an 8-point lead. I know that Mob's got a game in hand, but only dropped points on the two occasions, obviously two goalless draws, the first one at home to St Johnston, and then more recently the goalless draw against Hibs as well, where I think both games we easily could have won. I think the St Johnston game, I think O'Reilly had a great number of chances, and then obviously the Hibs game, Forrest smashes the bar with about 5 minutes to go, and it's just one of the days. But look, this far into the season, we're sitting top of the league. Obviously, the league's your bread and butter. You want to do better in Europe. I'll come on to Champions League as a whole, but as you say, I think we've had a lot of positive performances, and I think we're really unlucky to be only sitting with 1 point. But in a weird way, like, it's sort of, it, for a lot of fans, I think after that doing in Madrid, I was there, and in my opinion, only finished 3-0, because that's when I left the stadium, because I just couldn't watch the onslaught, as you say. Simeone's team just then they let up, and for me, I'd just seen enough at that point. I'd seen it too many times with Celtic in Europe, and I went walking into Madrid darkness and followed people who I thought were going for the metro, and turned out they were walking to a hotel fucking nowhere near anywhere I was supposed to be. So don't know who enjoyed the last half an hour better, probably the players on the pitch rather than my experience. But as I say, top of the league, and got a comfortable gap at the moment. International break, I think you're right, I think it could have came at the right point, because obviously, especially with that Aberdeen game, just for it, like, it was a perfect response, of course, to losing 6-0 in Madrid, to then go the next weekend and win 6-0, just sort of dispel any sort of lingering hangover from that. And well, I know three of the goals came in injury time, but I thought it was just a really great performance that day. And look, the man in the moment, Louis Palma, he was just outstanding that day, a goal and three assists. And you know, as we are talking, I know there've been a few reports that he'd maybe picked up a knock with Honduras, which would just be a lock at the moment. But not apart from that, I think he's just been absolutely flying at the moment. I think when people first seen him, they just, I don't know if it was a sort of hangover from how sort of dazzling Jota was on the ball. The fact that Palma wasn't, like, people immediately put him down as no blessed with pace and not able to beat a man, but he's just looking really good value at the moment, and really solidifying himself in that team. And not just Palma, as much as Palma took the headlines, I thought Yang was absolutely brilliant, especially in that first half against Aberdeen. And I think there's a lot to be positive at the moment. Obviously, Scotland players that we've got in the squad, they've all qualified for next year's Euros, and you've even got positives like Matt O'Reilly getting his first start for Denmark senior team the night against Northern Ireland. So I think that's just reward for his performances this season. But aye, Tony, I'll bring you in. How do you feel about this sort of at this moment?
I think what Danny says, I'd probably say a 7.5 out of 10. The League Cup's always going to sting, especially with the fact that it looks like the Rangers will probably win it. But that was always, I think most people kind of accepted that after we went out. And it was It was just a clumsy loss. I know we should have had a penalty, but we didn't really turn up that day, and it was just one of the ones, but it's unfortunate. In the league, I think you need to be reasonably happy. We're still undefeated, even though we're nearly in December. We've went to the typically hard away venues, Ibrox being the big one, and we deserved our win there. Other ones, we've been to Pittodrie, we've been to Livingston, we demolished Hearts. I thought that was one of our best performances of the season. Hibs, we obviously drew. It was not a very good game at all, that game, but I think Forrest missed a chance right at the end where he hit the post for about three yards out. But it's been a very strange season. It's been strange. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed a lot of it. And I'm glad Brendan Rodgers is back. I think he proved and against Aberdeen that domestically we can blow teams away, and domestically we've been fine. Europe, I think it's the same old story. It feels as it was pretty pointless playing in the Champions League, to be honest. Atletico Madrid game was pretty disgraceful. We just totally fell to pieces. I don't think it was a red card and made it. I think most tackles, if you slow them down to within an inch of their life, then it looks dreadful. But I just thought that was really harsh. I don't think we're a streetwise team in Europe. And we played against probably the most streetwise team in terms of Atletico Madrid. There was a tackle on Kyogo where the boot was high, and I think we should have five players surrounding the ref and Kyogo should be rolling about, but instead he gets up and he's shaking hands and all this shite. I just don't think we're streetwise enough for Europe, and it's quite frustrating. I think, again, we've not gave Rodgers the correct tools to negotiate tough ties in Europe. I think he'd done very, very well with the performance against Atletico Madrid at home, and probably unlucky not to beat Lazio. But again, unlucky with injuries as well. Maida's out now, Abada's out. I think Katati, he's out as well. So I think what Danny said as well, it's been kind of stop-start. When you think we're ready to kick on, for example, we absolutely demolish Aberdeen, then it's the international break, and hopefully we can just do the same to Motherwell, just blow them away. And then there's obviously the main talking point probably that's surrounding the clubs, the issue with the Green Brigade, and now the boys have walked out, and it's just a bit of a mess. The atmosphere at Celtic Park is horrendous. It is as bad as any Premier League ground. With the Green Brigade and the boys, I don't think anybody can debate that. The atmosphere obviously was brilliant 20 years ago when the Green Brigade weren't there and different things, but that's long gone now. About the Green Brigade and the boys, it's a library, which is unfortunate. I guess we could sit and debate who's to blame. You'll not find me sticking up for the board anytime soon, that's for sure. So I hope that's resolved. It doesn't look it. I mean, they've had, I think it's been 8 days since we played. The next game's coming fast, and the GB have promised a day of action. I don't really know what that's going to entail. It'll be interesting to see how many the fans actually support it, because I know there's a lot of fans, well, certainly if you're on Facebook, that don't like the Green Brigade, but then there's, I think, a lot of fans that have a lot of support and a lot of time for them, and I think I would include myself, and I think I can speak for the podcast when I say that we definitely want them back in, and we would like to see the issue resolved, because the longer it goes on, it lingers, and you don't want to be having days of action when really you should be encouraging the team. But if that's what it's going to take for the board to get a grip of themselves and let them back in, then that's fine. I think the board for years have refused to defend the fans. I think the police in this country deliberately antagonise football fans, and they have done for years, decades. I think the club aren't very happy with the Green Brigade's pig watch, in which they film the cops, even though the cops stand and film them all day. So I think I've said it before, they're entitled to turn the screw, literally. So I, and obviously the board have come out and says it's about flares and fire and all, and it's nothing to do with the Palestinian display. Don't know if I believe that. I know that's what we've been told for Celtic, that's an official line. Don't know if I believe it, that's my honest opinion. And whoever's telling us that, I believe it, that's what they've been told, but do I think that's what the Celtic board's actual reasoning is? Don't know. It's just something you wish was resolved quickly. I think the board have got away with murder over the last few years. They had the almighty shield that was Ange Postecoglou standing in front of them. And now they've got Brendan, and he's providing quite a good shield due to the fact we're 8 points ahead of the league. And I know we're complaining about Europe, but for a lot of fans, it really is just beat Rangers, and at the minute we're ahead of them. They've obviously got a bit better under Philippe Clement. I've not really watched any of their games, but I know that the results have improved, so I think the board will continue to get away with murder. I don't think we're going to do it in the Champions League this year, and if we win the league this year, I don't think we'll do it in it next year. If we look at our signings, I think Palmer's been excellent. The guy Kwon, total waste of money. Yang, I think there's a player in there. Talio, waste of money. Who else have we signed? There's probably Lagerbielka, hardly played since Vickers came back. Naroki, hardly played. Am I missing anybody? I feel as though I probably am, but it's just the transfer window was a disaster, really. I feel as though I'm going on a tangent now about the board, and I feel as though I do that every episode. But I'm happy with Brendan Rodgers. I'm happy with the team. I guess, to give them some credit, it's been smart business to tie up Kyogo, Abada, O'Reilly, Hatate in long-term deals, and hopefully Vickers is next. But for now, until the January transfer window, which is a window we need to really go out and start, we need a replacement goalkeeper, we need a left back, we need a striker, we should be really spending serious money, then hopefully we can maintain our domestic form and try and get to the new year. So you would like to think maybe 11 points clear, because Rangers are playing the League Cup final. That should be a chance for us to stretch our lead, and then we should be beating them at Celtic Park. So I just could continue the domestic form. We need to try and beat Lazio and Rome. We've done it before. I don't think Lazio are anything special, but it'll be a very hard ask for us to win over there. So I'll get a 7.5. I'm happy Rodgers is back, and I hope that the board do back him, and I hope the Green Brigade are back in ASAP.
I'd agree. I think, as you say, we don't really hide the fact that on our social media and on here in the past, we've always sort of been very wary of the board, and I think for good reason. And I think that you can trust your fellow fan a lot more than you can trust the Celtic board, because I think it's just ridiculous the way this is sort of dragging out. And I think Celtic are sort of grandstanding it as well, with it giving tickets away to those who are less fortunate, or whatever the way they worded it. I think, I don't know how happy I'd be if that was my ticket that I'd paid for that was going away. And I know Celtic came out and says, oh, we've offered to refund the rest of the season book. And I think anybody that knows the love these guys have got for their Celtic, they're not going to say, aye, okay, then just refund the rest of your season ticket and that'll do us. But as you say, Northcliffe says in the previous statement that the ban wasn't lifted by this Saturday for Motherwell's game, they would have a reaction. As you say, we're not going to speculate what that might be, but I'm sure there'll be a sort of communication either way from them towards the end of this week, letting people know. As you say, hopefully there is some sort of ongoing talk to know. Give a shout out to the Cynic. They had a boy from the Green Brigade on who spoke very well, and there was talk of meetings that they'd been promised for months and months that hadn't taken place. So hopefully sort of spotlight is shining on it now has led to Celtic officials actually meeting up and trying to come with some sort of amicable agreement to bring these fans back to the ground. And I think that's what everybody wants. So that's what everybody I speak to seems to want. But I think, though, if you want to be pessimistic, there's probably some in the Celtic board that would happily never see the Green Brigade back at Celtic Park, which is probably just a sad truth at this moment. But I know you spoke about transfers as well. I think you're right. I think we're approaching a point where I think you need to start shining a light on Mark Lawwell and what he's done since he's come in, because as much as Brendan's come out and on many occasions spoke about how impressed he is with the recruitment side of things and how it's improved since he was here, I think it's like, as you say, the sort of transfer window just gone. I think apart from Lewis Palmer, who has only really started setting the world alight with his last few performances, and as I say, I gave him a lot of praise at the start of this episode, but apart from that, there's a lot of money spent that looks to be wasted. And even today, you've got reports coming out saying that Marco Tilio is looking to possibly leave on loan in January if he can't get in the team. And this is before Celtic fans have even seen him kick a ball, for the most part. So yeah, I think you do need to sort of look at that. Everybody that was behind Rodgers, I think a lot of the reasoning for being behind Rodgers was thinking he would command a massive transfer budget and would get a couple of marquee signings, which didn't really arrive. And it remains to be seen what January looks like. But Danny, what's your thoughts on the sort of ongoing dispute between the ultras groups and the board? Do you expect it to be sort of settled by Saturday before this Motherwell game, or do you think it's something that's just going to continue to linger on for the next come up for however long?
Do you know, I really don't know. I actually thought it would be sorted by now. I don't know what to make it going on this long. It'll probably rumble on for probably into Christmas now. I just think the way the board have acted is shameful towards the support. And not just the Green Brigade, but the whole support. I mean, Celtic had an anti-fascist banner at a Lazio game and they get fined for it. And Celtic have not said a word about that, which is just, you've got the Israeli manager coming out and calling us anti-Semitic, calling the support racists, and yet they release a shitty statement via fan media, and it's not on the website, they don't tweet about it. You know, Peter Lowell's not coming out in front of a camera and denounced the accusations. It's fucking pitiful, but when, you know, you've got an anti-fascist banner and you get a fine for it, they ban the fans, and they came up with a list of reasons to ban fans, but yet they were already banned for away games and they're listing things that happened in away games whilst they weren't there. So Celtic seem to want to have a cake and eat it when it comes to the Green Brigade. It's great when they can sell pictures and make money off them and all the rest of it, but they don't seem to want to take the political side of it, which is just, it's bizarre, because, I mean, this time last year, we were welcoming Ukrainians to Parkhead for Champions League games, which is, you know, not a bad thing to do, but when it happens, and another, you know, there's another war on in the world, and Celtic fans want to market, we're told we've not to bring politics into football, and it's just, like, it's just so hypocritical, and the club are always right out in front of it. I mean, the way that they've acted recently when it comes to this sort of thing is really pitiful, and, you know, they made up excuses for why it's getting done and everything else, and you couldn't really blame, I mean, the Green Brigade, I know some boys that sit up there and store up there, and, you know, you can't doubt any of their love for the club, but you wouldn't really blame them if they just went, well, fuck this, we'll go somewhere else, or we'll just no go. And I know that's a hard decision for them to take, do you know what I mean? It's heartbreaking, but it's a lot of hassle, you know, the way Celtic treat them. And I was quite disappointed with the way some fans are talking about how they don't need them and this and that. Like, you look at that Aberdeen game, I mean, it was, I could hear you two talking in the stand, and they're 6-0 up against the team that finished third last year. We've no really had a performance this season yet. Well, even the Hearts game, I thought we left goals on the park that day. But against Aberdeen, I mean, we scored 6. Obviously, it could have been a few more, but the team actually played really well. The first 30 minutes were as good a first half as we've played this season under Rodgers. And yet, it was like people were cheering the goals game, but there were no real atmosphere. And it's just a pity, because Parkhead would have been bouncing. You know, see when, like, Yang scored his first goal, and talking about signings and that, like, Yang just needed something good to happen for him. He's shown really good flashes on the ball and never quite put it together. He needed a tap-in, he needed a header or something like that to get him going. So I'm excited to see him, but just like the atmosphere you felt. Know that it took getting away for your game, because they won 6-0 against Aberdeen. This game, you know, Palmer was outstanding. Oh, got a couple of goals, which he really deserved, and he needed them as well. It's just like, well, the atmosphere wasn't as good as it could have been, because Celtic have decided, just to ban fans for whatever reason they can think of next. And all this pish about how much they cost the club in fines, Celtic should be fighting these fines. I mean, you're talking about, what, 17 grand or something for an anti-fascist banner against Lazio? Celtic should be able to say, well, no pain that. Like, why should we get fined for promoting anti-fascism? It's bizarre, but yet the club just sit and swallow every year. Peter Lowell doesn't want to be taken away from the table at UEFA, so they swallow these fines every time they come in, and then they turn around and they use it as a stick to beat the support with. I was growing up, used to watch that other mob. They'd go someplace in Europe, they'd get leathered after Polis, they'd start fighting, and then the next day Martin Bain would storm up and say it was Chelsea fans, or that wasn't police brutality, or, you know, there was, you know, women and old men that were getting battered off the post, wasn't he? You know what I mean? And yet, when it's Celtic, it's like, oh no, we'll buy that fine and we'll ban the only people that make a fucking noise at the ground. So, until it's resolved, probably, until it's resolved, it does affect the club on the park as well. I mean, I know they won 6-0 against Aberdeen, but there's only so many, like, flat atmospheres you can go for. I mean, it'll be funny getting into the final game if it's still like this, because the European nights have not been, like, they've not been what they were for a while, but I mean, the final game could be fucking funny if there's no resolve this by then.
think you're right, and fact of the matter is that with this Champions League campaign, if we win by two goals in Rome and Atletico beat Feyenoord in Rotterdam, then it's a must-win game. Like, or not a winner-takes-all game even for that last 16 place, which would be almost incredible. And like, to think that how sort of unfortunate we've been in the campaign to still be in that position and then have that sort of unneeded distraction of possibly not having, you know, as you say, your most vocal support. Like, as you say, like, it's not a slight on any Celtic fan that's in the ground, but it's just not the same. It's what the grounds became accustomed to, and especially when both sort of ultras groups walk out, it's just notably poor, like, in terms of what you're used to even in standard league games. But I think you made a lot of good points, Danny, and hopefully it is sort of sorted, but I wouldn't hold my breath at the same time. Or maybe there an episode on it once there's sort of better communication from either side about what's happening towards this Saturday. But Tony, I'll just bring you in on the Champions League. As I say, we've been quite unfortunate in games and we're only sitting on 1 point, but I think the funniest thing after that Madrid game was realising that if Atletico win the last two games and Celtic win the last two games whilst beating Lazio by two goals, that they could unbelievably still qualify in second place. You hold much hope for that, and what's your thoughts going to Rome? Really depleting the sort of wingers side of things now, because obviously Dyson Maeda, as you mentioned, is out injured, and Louis Palma suspended quite unbelievably after he got his booking for dissent in Madrid, and you think his other booking in the group was for celebrating his disallowed goal against Lazio at home. It's quite unbelievable that that's what's led to him being suspended for this vital game.
Do I think we'll qualify for the last 16? No. If we qualify for the last 16, then I'll give away one of my Danny McGrain tops for nothing on the podcast. There you go. No, absolutely. No chance. I think, here's my opinion, I think we can beat Lazio, but I don't think we will. I think we can beat Feyenoord. I don't think we will. I think if we can get two draws, I would actually be happy with that, just to save it. I think if we beat Lazio, then I guess you've got such a great chance. But it's just I just think the Champions League, our opportunity was missed. We should have beat Lazio at home. Had we done that, we'd probably be in a really good shout at the minute. But I think you'll miss Palma, you'll miss Maeda. You'll change it, I think. I think you'll maybe go for two up top. I think you'll go for Owen Kyogo and maybe play like a 5-3-2 that'll maybe more like a 3-5-2 or something like that. I think that's maybe how he'll play it over there. It'll be interesting to see, but there's no pressure on them now. You just avoid getting tanked and, I guess, try and win a game, for fuck's sake, hopefully the home game, just to actually get us back and get a bit of respect and a bit of dignity. But I think the group's dead in the water for us. I don't think we'll beat Lazio, and that'll be mathematically finished. I think Atletico probably will win the last two games. I think they're a good team. So, Champions League or Europa League. I think that's it. I don't think we can even get Europa League. I think it's the way it's worked out. It'll either be Champions League or nothing. So, I think it'll be nothing. But I think we'll beat Motherwell comfortable on Saturday. I think we'll beat them 4-0.
Ideal. And Danny, I'll just take your sort of thoughts on the Champions League campaign as we go in it. As I say, it is quite unbelievable that we still do have a mathematical chance, and I think, as Tony said, I don't think it's unbelievable to think that we could go and beat Lazio and then have that sort of shootout with Feyenoord in the final game. But I think just the most Celtic thing to happen to now would be, I think, if we beat Lazio by a goal and then Feyenoord beat Atletico in Rotterdam, that would put us out anyway. So I think that's probably what's more likely to happen. But what's your thoughts on it? You get any sort of hope going to Rome? Maybe take a wee trip to the Vatican and call in some divine intervention?
Call in a favour. I'm with Tony. I mean, we could beat, I don't like Lazio. Like, we should have beat Lazio at home. We should have tanked Lazio at home. They really weren't that good. And yet, we somehow snatched defeat for the what is a victory. It's funny because when Palma scored, before I got disallowed, I said to myself, I think we've scored too early, I can draw this 2-2. And just when that ball broke to, I think it was Guendouzi in the midfield, he just knew that's couldn't score. I think it's probably, I mean, we can win both games and still go out. I think out of Europe altogether, so that'll probably, but will happen. The likelihood is we'll get to 1 point, maybe two. You might sneak a draw against Feyenoord at home, but I've no real hope. Tony said they play without pressure, but then they've got that stupid 10 years since a home win thing hanging with them. Rodgers has not got a great record in the Champions League either. Performance wise, they probably should have at least 4 points in them, maybe five. I think if they'd have got nothing each against Feyenoord at home, they might have regrouped and went again in the second half. I think Rodgers might have made a couple of changes. His change in the Madrid game when he took Palma off and put Phillips on. I know Atletico ended up with 10 men, but that change saved the game for us because it was only going one way at that point until he showed up. So maybe if the Feyenoord game would have hung on a wee bit longer, he might have made a change to switch it the other way. So we were unlucky there. But we were always conceding in the first half, like the second goal in Madrid, but we were always losing that goal. We were never getting half time in Feyenoord, not in each. We were never getting half time at Madrid at 1-0 because they're just incapable. It's I don't know where it is. I've been watching this Celtic team for years and years and years. Like, I'm 30 now, and you could pick 7 or 8 teams, ironically, in the last 15 years or so, that you just know they're going to see out a period. They're definitely going to lose a goal. And this team score in spades, and when they lose one, they can't help it. Just ship goals. Rodgers had that problem the first time as well. Although I do think the way they've knocked the ball about has been a lot better. They seem to knock the ball about with a bit of pop. Like Madrid, they pinged the ball about really well, and somehow they found themselves 1-0 done. And then for the next 20 minutes, they popped them out. I mean, Maid had that left back toast, and then get yourself sent off, which was very, very harsh. It was never a red card. But again, another thing that goes against us that probably doesn't go against any other team in the Champions League, just for cursed, it seems. But the last two games, you're still technically in it. I think we beat Lazio 2-0 and then beat Feyenoord 1-0. I think we can still qualify for the Europa League if Madrid do the business. But who knows? I mean, the likelihood we'll finish with 2 points if we can get a draw against Feyenoord at home, because I think they're a wee bit better than I thought they would be. Although they seem to have real trouble breaking down 9-man Celtic, but it's almost like, see if you gave me 2-0 each as I know, I would just take them and move on. See if you say there's going to be 2-0, nothing's going to happen, you're going to sit in front of your telly for 180 minutes bored out your nut, I would take it now, because they really didn't deserve the doing that they got in Madrid. Like, their performances, they've earned a bit of luck, but knowing us, we'll get it when it's too late. We'll get it against Feyenoord at home, win 1-0 or something like that. But if it gets a monkey half our back, then you can hear about how we'll build next year until next year comes around and we don't. But it's like last year, people say this year, Angie's team would have won the games. But you look at the fucking, that was a one-man team, Donetsk, right, and Mudryk. And we had the Croatia's right back who couldn't fucking hold him. And we could have scored, 14 against them, home and away, and we never. And like the two games against Leipzig, they fell to pieces. The game against Madrid at home, they were excellent for an hour, and then fell apart, and away from home was just a jolly for everybody. So it's hard to say that Ange would have done any better with this team, in my opinion. But Rodgers, it's the last two games, they're both winnable games, but knowing Celtic, it's just, you've not got much hope.
As you say, I think there's... It's just the way you're sort of positioned to think with Celtic in Europe. We just find different ways to chip goals and drop points. And I tend to agree with you. I don't think that Ange would have made much of a difference. Obviously, he had a lot more experience with this current squad. But losing guys like Starfelt and Jota would have probably still happened. And I think Rodgers' team's been pretty unlucky, because you look at the two home games we've had so far, the opening goal, and both of them was just fantastic football, and Kyogo obviously finishing both of them was unreal. But on match day two last year, when we failed to beat Shakhtar, and then match day two this year, when we somehow, as you say, clutched defeat from the arms of victory, it was quite unreal how we managed to lose that game. But I think that was sort of probably the damage was done, and it's unfortunate, because as you say, I think it would completely shock me if Celtic were able to win at least one of these games, but I think we'll probably find a way to not do that, and I get the learning experience, but there's only so many times you can say that, especially I think that's why a lot of people are frustrated with the transfer activity, because it's already saying, say you beat fine on the last game, you say, oh, you'll learn from that, you've got that win. But then next season, say you've punted O'Reilly or Hatate or Tara Vickers or something, you're replacing them with what people like to call project signings, and I don't really buy into that. I think if a player's good enough, it's just a case of it doesn't really matter what age they're. But as we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of these signings that have just been mere misses and hits in the last sort of few transfer windows. So it will be interesting to see. I'm glad that Lazio game comes first, just because I think that's probably the, like, we went toe-to-toe with him and I didn't think there was much in it. Obviously, it's in Rome. I think their league form's improved a bit, but I think out of the two teams that I'd want to come up against next, it probably would be Lazio. So I think, I know they won that last game, but I don't know. I just feel that we all know, 4 years ago, we went and won there. So let's just go there, get the points, and as I say, take it to that last game. But as you say, there's ways that we can still be out if we win that game, so we'll need to wait and see. But whatever, Saturday, just before wrap up, I'll just get your thoughts on Saturday, any sort of changes you'd look to make from that Aberdeen game. Don't know what the status of Kyogo's head knock, he obviously took a really bad one in that game. Obviously came off the bench and scored twice, scored the week before as well, possibly a game for him to start, Danny. And what about your sort of midfield three and all, holding Thiago home, he played and from the start against Aberdeen, but he was sub relatively early on. Who would your midfield three look to be as well?
I would play I'd keep, if Kyogo is fit, I'd keep him for the Champions League game, I think. I like him. I thought he had a good game against Aberdeen. I thought Rodgers took him off too early, but spoke about this with a boy in the work, and he seems to think that Rodgers is a bit of tough love when it comes to home, the same way he started the season with Hatate. Because he came out and said, home's got a day mare, but I think it's tough love with him. I think he sees a player in there. I thought he took him off way too early. I know Tumbo came on and scored, but I thought home, he's very tidy, he keeps the play moving, but he's also very good with the ball. I think that's kind of something that surprised me, is he's not just there to not like play a pass and move on. He can dribble the ball forward. I think he carries the ball really well. He's not got great pace with it, but I think he dribbles. He can dribble 30, 40 yards out of park, which you need in a team like ours. You need somebody that can carry the ball. It's probably something I'm missing. I mean, midfield, it picks itself. The first two pick themselves. It's kind of, do you go home? Do you go Tumble? Rodgers seems to like Tumble. I like Tumble and all. I make no bones about it. I think Tumble's a good player. I don't think he's quite as good as the rest of the players there. But I don't think he's as bad as folk make out. I think he's a bit of a whipping boy for some, just because he's like a homegrown player, and they seem to get it tighter than anybody else. I don't think he's that bad, but I do think he's very one-paced at times. He seems to be reluctant to hit the ball with his left foot, and Rodgers likes to play him on the left and O'Reilly on the right, and O'Reilly's the man of the moment at the minute, so you know, you're never going to move him. So I'd like to see home play. I'd like to see him get a run in the team. I hope Hatate's back. I know it could be a wee while, but I hope he's doing well. And I'd like to see, I know my head is injured as well, but I'd like to see Yang continues on the team. I don't think it'll be, I know Tony said it before, nothing will happen. I think it might be a wee bit of a slow start because of the international break and stuff. But I would like to think that they'll work out eventually. And I would like to see Yang get a run in the team. As I say, I thought he needed that goal against Aberdeen. He needed something good to go for him. He's got, I thought he was outstanding. I thought he wasn't quick when he first played. I thought he was slow in the week in the jail. I don't know if he was injured or something, he was carrying or not, but he looks, the last couple of times I've seen him, he does look like he's got pace. Palma, folks say, can he beat a man? Palma could buy plenty for somebody that can't beat a man. And I think Palma hits the ball as clean as I've ever seen a Celtic player. I mean, somebody mentioned to me the other week, I think it was my mate Liam, said he reminds him of Commons, the way he hits the ball, like he always catches it through. And that's probably a good comparison. I don't think I've seen Palma scuff a shot yet. He seems to catch it through. And you need that, you know what I mean? That's, you know, he's not going to waste opportunities. He might flash one wide or whatever, but you know, he hits the ball really clean. But I think I've answered your question. I'd go with O, because I like O. I make no bones about it. I'm a big fan of him. And his goals, he needed the goals last week. He's deserved them as well because he had a couple. That one against Ross County was disallowed for fuck all. He's something different, though. He gives us a presence, and I'd like to see him in the Champions League. Like, I think he's got something that he can offer. He creates a lot of space. Jackie Marcus was merely a bruiser, I would say. I'd say Owe's a better football player than Jackie Marcus. But I think Owe's got a physical presence as well. And I actually liked the sub Rodgers made at home. If it was 1-0 and Rodgers made that sub, I would have been on board. But when it went to 2-0 and they made it, I thought, oh, fuck. Second half could be a long time. If it was 1-0 against Atletico and they made that sub and went to the 4-3-2, I wouldn't have minded it as much. I actually thought it was quite smart. But I'd like to see Owe and Kyogo play together because I thought they've been really, it's been kind of promising whenever it is. But Saturday, it's about getting back for the international break and just getting back on that, the winning run and keep that gap above Rangers until we play them again.
Aye, as you say, I'm pretty much on board with what you say. I like Ho as well. I've liked him since he signed, and he took his two goals excellently last weekend, and then the one the weekend before as well was obviously a vital one against St Mirren. I thought home set him up really, really superbly for that one as well. So I'd probably go the same. I'm not as big a fan of Tumble as you, but I'm not as, I know like, you're probably right, he does get a lot of stick, but I think that, like, I just think the other midfielders, Dave Mayer, Tumble can hit a ball beautifully, and he showed it again against Aberdeen. It was a great finish in the keeper's near post, but as you say, I think he's possibly not as mobile, and for me, I'd like to see Mary home. Obviously, one of the new signings that we brought in the summer. Hoping to see Mary, and as you say, don't think anybody's really stepped in and put him up. Then they say they'll replace Hatate even when Hatate's back, because Hatate's just that good. Yeah, and then O'Reilly's just, as we say, man at the moment. And I watched the Scotland game last night. Callum McGregor was just absolutely outstanding. So I think it is, as you say, two of the three's nailed on, and then it is just probably between Home and Tumble, possibly Awata as well. But I'd be very surprised if it was Awata. Obviously, Motherwell coming to Celtic Park on pretty much no form. They think they've got 2 points at the last 27, so I think they're only going to set up one way and look to keep us out rather than come out and attack us and make a game of it. But it will be interesting to see. I think you make a good point about Kyogo keeping him for the Lazio games. The last thing you want is a Motherwell player just careering into him and putting him in doubt for that game. But hopefully he has recovered well. I know, like, you've got to be careful with these sort of concussion protocols and that. But as I said earlier, I think that's where the international break might have done us a favour. The fact that he's had time to rest up and he's not travelled. I know Owe is away with South Korea. I think they play tomorrow morning as we are recording, so he'll probably be back late Wednesday back in Glasgow, but that should be enough time, you'd think, before Saturday. But I am looking forward to it, just as you mentioned, just maintain a lead, extend it, because I think Rangers and Aberdeen play at Pittodrie on Sunday, so it's an opportunity for us to extend that. And then Rangers obviously beat there last season, so it is one of the games that you would sort of earmark as a chance to extend a lead. So all we can do is put the pressure on, and hopefully we do. I know Tony went for 4-0. I think it might be similar. I know you've said it might be a bit a slow burner, but I think once the first gets in, Motherwell seeds, like, I don't think they'll be high in confidence as we go at the moment, but I think that it might be. I'll go for 5-0, and I think Owe's going to get a hat-trick. I think he'll be full of confidence, and if he is given the start, he'll be looking to just put as much pressure on Kyogo for that starting place as possible. Did you get a scoreline, Danny?
I did, Dave, but seeing as you went for 5, Tony's went for 4, I'll go for 3. I think O'Reilly will score. Yang will get another one, and Owe will score as well. I'll go for 3 different scorers, and we are. That'd be a good game. I think you were right about Motherwell. They were very, very recently, they were like the forum team of the league apart from us, and they seem to have fell off a cliff the last few weeks. So hopefully we don't give them any encouragement.
No, and as you say, like, I don't think you're wrong. Motherwell have obviously got a couple of decent players. Like, I think the last time, I'm just checking the fixtures there, the last time they won was at Tynecastle, and then no long after they should have got something at Ibrox, and then we obviously scored the 97th minute winner through Matt O'Reilly at Fir Park, and they just seem to be on a downward spiral. But as I've shown, they did run us close the last time we played them, so we will have to be professional and get the job done. But aye, so it's a 3-0, a 4-0 and a 5-0, so hopefully one of them comes to fruition. As I say, we'll wrap up here. That's us closing in on the just over 45 minute mark, so we'll get this out. As we mentioned, if there's any sort of update from the sort of Green Brigade regarding Saturday, we'll maybe put a wee episode on that, but probably depends when that comes out. If not, we'll be back after the Motherwell game. We'll obviously review that, and we'll preview that vital game in Rome as Celtic look to keep their Champions League hopes alive. But thanks to everybody that's taken the time to listen and persevered with our lack of content for the last month or so. But as I say, we are looking to be back regularly, so let us know what you thought. Yeah, catch us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you follow us. And hail, hail.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.